Okay, we'll take your phone calls as well. You might want to direct it to any one of the three guests or just throw the subject up and I'll assign the question. It's Robin Falkov, John Rappaport, Dr. Terry Grossman, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We'll take your phone calls with our three guests, Terry Grossman, John Rappaport, and Robin Falkov in just a moment right here on Coast to Coast. A few more questions, and then we'll be on to your phone calls. Robin, what about, there's always spin in anything. And, you kind of alluded that, another pharmaceutical popped up after a natural supplement was taken off the market in some scourge and scandal. Maybe it was done on purpose. Are there spin doctors out there out to do whatever they need to do to get this done? Robin? Is anybody there?
I'm here.
Hello.
Yeah, there you are. Where'd you go, Robin?
I'm sorry. We have new phones.
Oh. You missed. Did you hear the question?
Yes, I heard the question.
As you were rushing to the phone, right?
There are spin doctors, and there are reports that have been coming out about the hazards of vitamin E, and now they're coming out and trashing the effectiveness of vitamin C. And all I can say is that this has only just begun. You will be seeing more and more attacks on supplements that have been used for years safely and effectively to back up these positions that they're going to make with what they will consider or determine that they have found to be safe upper limits.
Terry, are you totally convinced that vitamins and minerals and supplements can be used to fight disease?
Yes, I have seen miracles. I have seen incredible results with people, with animals that just you would not, you're told something is impossible and then you see things turn around, and what can you say? This is what it's attributed to: the use of nutritional supplements, the use of herbs, the use of homeopathics.
Do you agree with that, Terry Grossman?
Well, absolutely. I've treated literally thousands of patients with a multitude of diseases, from simple, everyday, common diseases to life-threatening illnesses. And, I don't eschew the use of prescription drugs. I use them when they're necessary. But I, try to use the natural substances first. And in the majority of cases, the prescription drugs are either not necessary at all or necessary in much lower doses. But these substances have therapeutic effects. They are very powerful, and they can treat a wide variety of maladies, and I think that they belong in the toolbox of treating physicians as well as families.
I've always believed, too, that this planet somehow has the remedy for any ailment that may be on the planet. I absolutely think, for example, the cure to AIDS just hasn't been found out there in some forest somewhere.
I think you're absolutely right. And, Robin's a traditional Chinese medicine practitioner. My wife's a traditional Chinese medicine practitioner, and they use herbs that have been around for 5,000, that have been used for 5,000 years. And, it's hard to fool people for 5,000 years. If you might be able to do it for a decade or two, or even 100 years, but for 5,000 years, you have to have a system that works. And they're relying on herbs, naturally found substances that aren't adulterated at all. And they've built an entire medical system that relies on this.
Robin, it's safe to say when Richard had his health problems, you nursed him back to health in an alternative medicine sort of way, didn't you?
Yes, and the focus of Richard's treatments were with homeopathics. From the instant that he was in the emergency room after the ambulance, I was giving him homeopathic remedies that I had with me. It was in they were in his drinking water. I gave him coenzyme Q10 before he went for open heart surgery. That dramatically decreases the amount of bleeding in a patient. I pleaded with his doctors to order intravenous nutrition supplements, which someone like Terry is a godsend to be able to be providing for his patients, and these doctors would not comply with that, and they told me, whatever I can give him by mouth, go ahead and do it. It's fine with them. And he's come out of this incredibly well. I mean, he will occasionally take his supplements, you know, and sometimes I have to nag him. But immediately after his heart attack, Richard was on a very, very strict regimen, three times a day with nutritional supplements and the homeopathics in between, along with chelation therapy, intravenous vitamin therapy, hyperbaric oxygen chambers, and the result is miraculous.
To the phones we go. Let's pick it up by going to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there. Where are you calling from, and who's your question for? Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Vicki, and my question is for Robin.
Okay, Vicki, where are you calling from, by the way?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in Pompano Beach.
Okay, go ahead.
Florida. I think this is an extremely important subject, and it's something that I've been screaming for years. I've been trying to find a good doctor, and what would be a good avenue to find a doctor? Because I'm on a plan, you know, an insurance plan, and trying to find a doctor through them is like, you know, weeding through a haystack trying to find a needle. Do you have any suggestions about trying to find a good doctor who would incorporate everything available?
Well, I just don't know if they would be covered on your plan. If you want to contact me privately, I lived in Florida for many years, and I might be able to make some recommendations for you. But there is an organization called ACAM.org, and they have a referral or a listing and a description of the different practices that these medical doctors provide. And I'm sure Terry could provide you with some other options for checking on treatment in your area.
Okay, good. Thanks, and good luck to you, east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
David from Anderson, Indiana.
Hi, David.
I was under the impression that vitamin E, the synthetic version, is DL-alpha. And the natural version is D-alpha. And that I've only been able to find, just by casual looking, D-alpha vitamin E in expensive television advertised multivitamins or in baby formula.
Who wants to take that question?
I can take it because it's available. There are many companies that make the mixed tocopherol form of vitamin E. You have Now Pharmaceuticals. You have Twin Lab. You can contact the Life Extension Foundation. Do you guys have any other suggestions?
No, there are many many available forms, and it's actually important to take mixed tocopherols because the study that was done that so much hoopla was raised that showed a slightly increased risk of heart attacks with vitamin E was actually not vitamin E. It was actually strictly on alpha tocopherol. And if you take the mixed tocopherols with the gamma tocopherol mixed in it, then you don't have the same cardiac effects. And so it is important to take a mixed tocopherol.
Okay.
All right. Good luck to you, sir. Let's go to our west of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Oh, howdy, Greg, Ken, Lyon, Juno. Couple of questions, kind of two-pronged. One was, and this would go to anyone, what they thought the effect on the hospitals and surgery for different plans using herbal medicines, like drinking 5 cups of chamomile a day for 2 weeks to get rid of kidney and gallstones, and the other thing was the effect of herbs on the pharmaceutical market, like garlic for high blood pressure, or valerian root for sleeping, or black cherry juice every fourth day for livers. And again, I think it's great you guys are doing this. You know, back before the 60s and 50s, anyone that talked about herbs used to be called a witch. And I'll hang up and listen to your answers. Thanks.
He's right. John Rappaport, why don't you take that? You want to jump in on that?
Well, I think maybe the other folks on the line here would be more able to do that. But as far as the effect of herbs on the pharmaceutical market, there is no question that it has a profound effect on the pharmaceutical market, because for one reason, if you're taking a good herbal formulation, you have something that has many, many active ingredients working. You're not trying to, as pharmaceutical companies, some tend to do, okay, let's take this plant and let's take this one ingredient out of the plant and let's throw everything else away and then let's magnify this ingredient and really pump it up, and that's what we'll give people and we'll call it Zubiza drug. Instead, in an herbal formulation, time-tested, clinically, so to speak, tested over decades and even centuries and so forth, millennia, you have many, many ingredients working in these plants to assist people and help people. And that is one of the great traditional forms of medicine. And the pharmaceutical approach, of course, does not permit this purely from a business sense, because they want to patent whatever it is that they take out of the plant. They want to say, this is ours, it's proprietary, we have protection, only we can sell this for 7 years or whatever it is, and therefore this is the way we're going to go. One ingredient for one illness. It's a lunatic proposition to begin with, that you're going to do one ingredient and it's going to knock out one disease. The traditional form was much broader in spectrum, and it still exists in every good herbal formulation.
Terry, thank you for making those very important points, John.
Isn't aspirin like the extract of willow bark?
Yes, it is. The salicylic acid. Aspirin is acetyl salicylic acid, and the willow bark is a salicylate also, so they do have similar.
All right.
Effects.
So when you go and get aspirin from the store, are you getting mushed up willow bark, or are you getting some synthetic aspirin? And then if you are, how did they make it? How did they create it? How do they know how to do that?
Well, I think that, you know, it was known for a long time that this substance that came from willow bark had properties as an analgesic. It reduced pain, it reduced fever, and had these beneficial effects. And they isolated this ingredient and they made some modifications. They took the salicylic acid in the willow bark and acetylated it in a chemical process and created a new compound called acetyl salicylic acid, ASA, and that's what aspirin has become.
It's got to be, I think it could be the wonder pill of this planet.
Yes, it really does have dramatic effects, and if it were introduced today, it would never be an over-the-counter medication.
No, it'd be a prescription, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
I bet they're kicking themselves on that one.
I think so.
They'll find a way.
West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Kim from Phoenix.
Hi, Kim. Go ahead.
I just wanted to state that my herbalist and I started doing a lot of very serious, rigorous research into toxicity of certain herbs that have been used for many years, you know, including Ayurvedic herbs and Chinese medicinal herbs. And what sort of started this whole thing is that after taking a very helpful herb with Thania somnifera in the correct doses, I started, having huge amounts of sediment in my urine. And we did a bunch of research on it and found out that in the common doses that it does cause kidney lesions and also liver lesions. And went on to, study a lot of commonly used herbs, and the ones, many that are tested for toxicity, even in the right Chinese medicinal synergistic combinations, turn out to be actually, quite kidney toxic. And it doesn't mean that this codex is good, and I've seen, people with hepatitis C get rid of it doing certain herbs, but most herbs are not really tested for that kind of thing where they test the mice and they cut open their kidneys and see what's happened. So I think it's something that our government should, if they want to spend their time messing around with this, they really care about us, they could put their energy into doing more testing on herbs that seem to have benefit.
Well, go ahead. Who's? It sounds like you wanted to say something.
Right? Yeah, if I can step in here, there are Chinese herbal companies that do rigorous testing of all of the components that are used in making up their products, because a lot of times there can be contamination of these herbs, or the potency is not what it is supposed to be active in a formula, or it can be above and beyond what is called for. And you have to check on how these herbal formulas are made and how they are determined to be, you know, what they're claiming on the label. And I didn't hear what it was that you said you had the problem with.
She's on her radio now, Robin.
Oh, okay.
Do we risk the extinction of some of these herbal remedies because we're using them up too fast?
Well, echinacea is in limited quantities. I've also had a vitamin and health food business for over 20 years, and I know the prices have gone, you know, they've gone up on echinacea because of the popularity, and the availability is decreased. And you have something like echinacea that should be taken short-term, and many people think, well, gee, this is fine. It'll help my immune system. I'll take it all winter long. You know, this is where the proper healthcare practitioner is critically important, because there are side effects, there are treatment plans to be safe and to be the most effective.
John Rappaport, you and I have talked over the years about how we're getting the short end of the stick, getting ripped off, getting used by some of the big corporations in this country. This seems to me to be still another one of those things.
No question about it, George. In this case, we're talking about pharmaceutical companies and their collaboration with governments. What most people tend to gloss over is the fact that we're not talking about free market capitalism here. These companies and many other types of corporations are all too eager to cooperate, to influence, to spend millions upon millions of dollars in lobbying and so forth, in order to get their way, and they want to cooperate with governments because they realize that that is the ultimate road to monopoly. So that is obviously happening here. And in the last caller's question, there's a kernel of this. You see, there's a tendency to say, oh, well, I tried to take this and it caused problems, so therefore I really want the government to study this and do something about it, so forth and so on. That sounds okay, fine. But when the government does that, specifically in this case, say the FDA, this is the way they want to get their hooks in. They are not primarily interested as an organization or an influence in simply saying, oh, well, there is a problem with this little thing here, and so we better put a warning box, label on the box or whatever. They're interested in controlling the entire market of natural health and ultimately eliminating it.
Stay
That's
with
their
us.
Agenda. So what's the choice then? Well, the choice is that in a free society, as mentioned by Robin, you have a very good health practitioner who knows what he or she is doing. You have private groups. You have universities who issue letters of recommendation and information and background to help people do their own research so they can take these natural supplements and do it in the right way. That's the long-term solution, not to say government take over.
We'll be back in a moment. We'll wrap it up with final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Well, this has been a fast evening. We're going to take the final 30 minutes in a moment. We'll take the rest of your phone calls, squeeze it in with our three guests right here on Coast to Coast AM. And before we go back to phone calls, each of you, let me give you just a few moments to basically summarize how you feel about this entire issue. Then we'll go back to new calls. Terry, we'll start with you, Dr. Grossman.
Well, I think that, you know, the American public has an opportunity here to preserve the freedom that we've enjoyed for quite a long period of time. And I think it's really incumbent on each of us to protect that freedom by continuing to write letters. This is going to be a long struggle. This isn't going to go away overnight. And they're not going to be able to take our freedom to pick these supplements to use for ourselves away from us overnight. So we just need to stay involved and continue to write letters and contact our congressmen and use our voting power to not allow this to come to pass.
How about you, Robin?
Well, I agree with what Terry has said, and there are many people who have told me they think, well, they can get these supplements in the black market. It's not going to happen if all these small business people are manufacturers are forced out of business. These things won't be available. George, do you remember the Mel Gibson public service announcement of years ago?
The Mel Gibson, which one? Remind me now.
This was where there was a public service announcement commercial showing Mel Gibson in his kitchen, and somebody's trying to beat down the door, and it's the police coming in to arrest him because he's got vitamins in his cabinet.
I don't remember that.
Oh, gosh. Well, this PSA had been done by Kevin Miller. He's an international award-winning filmmaker, and he has the website welltv.com. He's made available for a free download, anyone who goes to his site, 30 minutes of the version of his new movie, We Become Silent, and it is an excellent vehicle for people to understand the attempts by the multinational pharmaceutical interests and the giant food companies in concert with the World Trade Organization, the World Health Organization, and others to limit the public's access to herbs, vitamins, and all these other healing therapies. And this is free.
Okay, John Rappaport, yours.
Yeah. You know, George, as we discussed earlier, the principal idea that we all learned when we grew up was this was supposed to be a nation that was about freedom. That means when you translate that into health, that you have the absolute right to decide what to put in your body or not to put in your body to improve your health. You make the choices. You do the research. You consult whom you want or not, and you make up your mind. The level of hypnosis that has been overtaking this country over the last decades has sublimated all that, and there are many people who no longer even understand that. And to me, the fundamental fact to wake up with is that you decide. Nobody can tell you what to put in your body or not to put in your body. Any attempt to do that is completely criminal and against what everything that a human being is based upon. And that's where you start, and that's where you get the power and the force and the motivation and the desire to stay in this struggle long enough to make sure that we win.
To the phones we go. First time caller line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good evening.
Yeah, hi. Where are you calling from and who's it for?
Bellingham, Washington, for Robin.
All right, sir. Go ahead.
I have multiple sclerosis, and I've pretty much, I won't say cured, but got rid of it with supplementation. And I'm actually a distributor for a company, direct company, who has patented supplements, patented process, fructose bonding, chelation. I'm just wondering, are those going to be affected?
Well, everything will be affected. All supplements.
Even if there's a patent on them? Government patent?
If the pharmaceutical companies are going to take them over and sell them, whatever price you're getting that for now, you can expect that to go through the roof. And it might not be available.
No, that's true, too. They would just basically say, that can't be sold here, right?
Yeah, that can happen. That can happen very easily.
So that's why we got to fight it.
Well, and it's great to hear your story, and that should inspire so many others to take action and make sure that we preserve these rights, that we can have access to all these supplements.
Wildcard line, you're up on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George. My name's Tim. I'm calling from Virginia.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, I got a question and a comment. I was going to ask your guests if they know anything about this. I read in a book a couple months ago that asthma is a deficiency of zinc in the blood carrying oxygen to the lungs. I was wondering if they knew anything about their comment on it. And then my comment was, all the letters and phone calls and faxes that we've been doing, I've been doing it for the last 2 years, and nobody's ever called me back. And the only way that anybody's going to listen to us now, and the American people, is by force, and that's the only way they'll listen to us. They became impotent to us. And I'll take this off the air.
Terry, do you want to chat about this?
Yeah. Zinc and copper oppose one another in the body. There's a balance between them. And calcium, magnesium do the same thing. And if you have a balance more towards zinc, you can increase the elasticity of the lungs, which is one of the problems in asthma. And if you have a more magnesium as opposed to calcium, you can relax the airways. So those are biochemical, natural ways of modifying asthma, exactly.
All right, thank you. Let's pick it up by going west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there. This is Olin in Culver City, California.
All right.
We keep getting new strains of flu. In 1918, the swine flu killed over 1 million people worldwide. I was wondering if Mr. Rappaport might think that Codex could be a setup for germ warfare to give new strains of flu and reduce overpopulation.
Oh, don't get him started. But since he asked you, John, I'll let you answer.
No, man, that's a 50-part question, right? First of all, there's been tremendous fear-mongering about flu and flu strains, which George and I have discussed many times on this show. And so my basic proposition, without going into all the backup, is that this is an attempt to scare people, and there is no flu pandemic on the horizon. This is backed up by simple statistics of how many cases and so forth, and this is basically another propaganda effort to attempt to scare people into taking pharmaceuticals and vaccines and thinking that, you know, we're all terrorized and that there's no hope and so forth and so on. And there's depopulations agendas involved behind all of this, but it would take a while to spell that out. But I think that covers your question.
That's a whole show by itself, John.
Yeah, right.
Next up, Wildcard Lion, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, this is Ann.
Hello, Ann.
I'm in Texas.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Deep in the heart of Texas. Yes, I am, and it's hot down here. I'd like them to talk about, I happen to be the mom who had the bill introduced in the Texas legislature to prohibit the sale and promotion of creatine to our high school kids or our public school kids. This came about when it was actually being sold in the locker room of my son, who was a football player. And when I voiced my opinion that this is my decision to make, not the coach's to make, the only response I got was, well, the school down the road is doing it, and if your kid doesn't do it, he will be at a disadvantage. And I felt like I had to go to the legislature. It passed unanimously. It is now prohibited in the state of Texas. It is a criminal offense. So this, and I believe in herbs. I've ephedra. I've used that for mild bronchial asthma when I get it in relation to allergies. I have no problem with using alternative medication, not at all. But where do we draw the line on this? How do I protect, for example, my child from the pressure that can be put on him at a very critical age in using the sports enhancement dietary supplements?
Terry, I'll let you take this.
Well, you raise a very good question, and there's no simple answer to this because, you know, we need to walk a fine line. When you have freedom, you have to use it wisely. And in a case of a high school setting where you have, you know, social pressures for children to use certain substances for whatever, you know, creatine, it's all it does is it causes muscles to look bigger. People are not stronger when they take creatine. It just causes more fluid to accumulate in the muscle. So there's the appearance of bulk and things like that. So weightlifters like to take it before they're in competitions, things like that. But, you know, there are some side effects that are associated with creatine. Some of them are quite serious when it's taken in massive overdoses. When it's taken in small doses, it doesn't cause any significant problems. And, you know, it brings us to the central point of how to address, you know, the potential toxicity of some substances. Now, we're not talking about a vitamin. We're talking about an amino acid, which is different. But nonetheless, the real key here is maybe not to legislate against everything that has a toxic effect, but instead maybe to provide more information, to provide the information in the labeling with the substances that are being sold so that consumers have this information and they know how to make proper choices. So I think that may be a good compromise for how people can learn about the substances and use them wisely.
Okay, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Hi there. You're on Coast to Coast.
Yes, hi. I'm calling from San Diego.
Yeah, hi. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. I have a question. I know of a company that one of their selling points is that their supplements are, they call them pharmaceutical grade, which means they use good manufacturing practices that are required normally for pharmaceuticals. And that means that, you know, there's a guarantee that what's on the label actually is in the supplement. So, you know, in that sense, pharmaceuticals used as sort of has a good connotation. Is there a way that some regulations could be helpful that, you know, a company has to guarantee or has to prove that what's in the supplement actually, or what's on the bottle is in the supplement without getting us in trouble so that these are not going to be available anymore?
Robin, you want this?
Sure. I mean, there's the way through public pressure to only support the companies that are manufacturing supplements that have undergone the rigorous standards and testing that show that is what is in the product. And you don't buy the other products, you know. You get what you pay for. When you buy these cheap products, they're lower quality. They're often not bioavailable, which means you can't utilize them. So you have to do your research once again. I mean, that is the important thing, that you do your research into what you're taking and into the companies that are making them. But you don't want overregulation by the government, because it's all going to disappear.
I can add one more point to this.
Sure.
Look at it this way. If a company is manufacturing some kind of a supplement and they're saying, well, you know, uniformly proper manufacturing standards or whatever, there are laws on the books about this already. We don't need to have a whole new bureaucracy created that's going to wipe out the entire supplement field under the guise of protecting the consumer. It's called fraud. You know, if a supplement manufacturer says there's 70 milligrams of this ingredient,
and there's 10,
then they can be prosecuted. And that's a crime. It's fraud. So we're covered already under that.
And who would be the watchdog, the laboratory, John, to check into that?
Yeah. Well, the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, is the federal agency, and there are state agencies as well. I mean, there's already a gigantic bureaucracy here to cover this kind of fraud. So they would be the ones to investigate and to see what the situation is. And, you know, once you start to say, okay, well, let's cross the line. Let's say that every supplement manufacturer has to go through a rigorous approval on many fronts by the FDA and so forth before they can even put something on the market, then you have let the government in the door so far. That's what exactly they want, and they will go much further. They will go all the way to the wall, and they will implement the Kodak stuff and the CAFTA stuff, and they'll knock out the Shea laws, and they will eventually take everything that you want off the market.
All right, thanks for that response, and thanks for the question. How much time? Well, we'll take one or two more calls and wrap things up. East of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm James from Alabama.
Sure.
Let's have a couple of quick comments and a very quick question.
All right, James.
The comment is about the scare tactics they were talking about. It reminded me of what I think the textile companies did with hemp some years ago, which started the $1 trillion drug war. And the other thing was, that I'm an ex-airline pilot. I was down in West Africa a few years ago, in Ouagadougou of all places, and my whole crew got this food poisoning. My engineer had it, and he was okay by the time we left, and on the way back, my first officer got it. He couldn't even fly the airplane. 3 hours out of Germany, I got it as well, but I got on oxygen. And after 30 minutes of oxygen, all the symptoms went away. And believe me, it was coming out of every end, and it was hot flashes and cold chills and fever, everything. And but then my question was, is it okay to take vitamin E, and what could I take for depression?
Well, for depression, you know, the herb St. John's wort has been shown in double-blind studies to be very effective. So that's particularly safe. There is another supplement called SAMI, S-adenosylmethionine, that's safe and effective and works very quickly within a few days to lessen depression. And both of those can be used together.
I think you need to assess what's going on with your symptoms for depression. And with something like St. John's wort, you have to make sure you're not taking any other medications that would be MAO inhibitors, because there can be harmful interactions. So you really need to check carefully, and there are many, many safe herbal formulas and supplements out there for treating depression.
All right, we're going to wrap it up now. Robin, John, and Terry, very briefly, about 20 seconds apiece. Robin, that phone number again, you want people to call their congressperson so they can vote no on CAFTA, 202-224-3121. Robin,
yes,
thank
yes.
you so much being on the program.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this.
Absolutely. John Rappaport as well. Do you have a 15-second goodbye to us, John?
Don't let them take your freedom away from you. That's what I'm telling you.
And Terry?
Oh, absolutely. It's just been wonderful to help share this information, and let's just get out there and not let this happen.
And now let's see what happens, indeed. So thanks to all three of you for being on the roundtable discussion on a topic that is important to you. It's something that's going to affect you, as John Rappaport said, long term. So let's make sure you continue to have the rights to do what you're going to do. They should simply keep things the way they are. I think we'd all be happy with that. I could live with that, to be sure. Now, on our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to go a little more paranormal. We're going to talk about the Nephilim. So make sure you're part of that. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.